Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that you would bless it to us now. And I pray the words I bring will be words from you. Amen. Well, as I said to you earlier when we sung that song, it's a song that I remember not long after I came to faith hearing that song. Some of you might remember I actually used it for my talk at the carol service last year. Does anyone remember? Good, because I've just used the same talk, so I couldn't be bothered to write a new one today. No. But aren't they powerful words on Saviour's Day? Don't look back or turn away. So often we can see Christmas as being a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but not thinking about what that leads to, not thinking about walking on with him day after day. Today is a great day of celebration for Chanel and Ryan and the whole family, and quite rightly so. The celebration of new life. And as we come into the season of Christmas, we hear of the most extraordinary new life imaginable. What are we really to make of all this? I mean, this is why we have Christmas. This is why we have all the celebrations to look forward to. The birth of Jesus is why we celebrate Christmas, the very reason for all of this. We hear about how this birth is foretold. Is it just a nice story that we celebrate at Christmas? After all, so much of it seems impossible. The idea that Mary as a virgin would have a child. The passage which Debbie just read to us says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." This is no ordinary child being born. If we are to take this seriously, this is the Saviour that people have been waiting for. Because actually, when we think about that passage there that was read and how Mary was told she would have a son, this wasn't the first that people had heard of Jesus being born. We can go back over 700 years before this took place. We see it recorded in the book of Isaiah in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 9, over 700 years before Jesus was born. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." People heard about Jesus being born all that time before it even happened. And now we read about it coming true. And he's described as being a king who would reign forever. Do we take that seriously? Especially when we think about Christmas. I mean, does it look like he's reigning forever in the world today? What do we see in all the shops? All the billboards and all the posters? Is it pictures of Jesus that we see everywhere? So on the face of it, we think, how can he reign forever? How can he actually be reigning? He doesn't seem to be everywhere that we look outside. So why is he called the Saviour? Or is he talking about another kingdom? Not the kingdom of this world. What gets referred to as a heavenly kingdom? That sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? A heavenly kingdom. What could that mean? And that Jesus is the Saviour. Well, we can all accept this world we live in today is not perfect. We only have to turn on the television and we can see this world is not perfect. The news generally is bad every day, isn't it? Occasionally we get little snippets of good things, good words of hope, but generally it's not good, is it? We can probably see things in our own street, in our own city and think, this world is not good. And you might ask the question, where is God? If Jesus is truly reigning today and forever, why doesn't he do something about what there is in this world today? The birth of Jesus was foretold all those years before he was born, that he would be a saviour and that he would die and rise again. This is why he came into this world as a baby in humble circumstances, in order to prepare a way for a heavenly kingdom. For a promise of a life far better than the one that we have now. A promise of a life at the end of this one. That is the promise that Jesus brings to us. He was to be born in a stable, not in the way that would have been expected, not in the way that would have been seen as being fit for a king. It's probably why so many people doubted him, doubted whether this could be real. This must be a mistake. Surely he'd be born in a palace or something. Except he's of a heavenly kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. It is because of this world being imperfect and because of the reality of each one of us being imperfect that Jesus would be born and would go to that cross. If we're all really, really honest, we can probably accept that none of us are perfect. We all do things wrong. We all make mistakes. And God is a God of love, but also a God of justice. Cannot accept what the Bible refers to as sin, or the things that we've done wrong. And therefore, Jesus had to come into this world to prepare a way for us. It is because of God's love for us. You know, Messy Church this Thursday, we'll be looking at God's love for us, coming from the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. Eternal life, that's the promise of the heavenly kingdom. A promise of a life that Jesus prepares for us. All because of God's love for us. That is why Jesus came into the world and why we can celebrate Christmas. And for Mary, I mean, she was what you might call an ordinary young girl. This must have turned her world upside down. And she asked the question, how can this be possible? You might have seen on the poster that I put up that was up there before the service, was also on the church Facebook page this week. God of the impossible. Maybe you ask the same question. We all like the Christmas story. It's quite a nice idea. But how can it really be true? How can it really be possible? The idea that Christmas would be about someone coming into this world to bring salvation. Something that was foretold over 700 years before. And now here it is, and here it happens. On our Tuesday night Bible studies, we meet every Tuesday nights for the Bible studies. We've taken a book of the Bible each week. We've been going through a lot of the Old Testament prophets recently, and it's been amazing looking at them and how many of the verses about Jesus' life that were told all those years before he was even born come true. The evidence of Jesus being in this world, the evidence of his death, but also his resurrection, are incredible. Mary's response here is remarkable as well. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I suspect that's why God had chosen Mary. She says, I am your servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And that word was fulfilled. She says she's willing to trust in God and what God is doing. What God has said to her sounds impossible, but she's willing to trust in him and see this prophecy coming true. And she's rewarded for all this by her trust that she puts in him, by the way God works through this and protects her. As they journey to Bethlehem, he protects them on that journey, provides somewhere for the baby to be born, protects her and Joseph. And later on, King Herod is looking to find Jesus to kill him. And again, God provides and protects. Could that all be an accident? Or could that just be God's plan? The baby was safely delivered. Later on was protected. Jesus went on to serve in the exact ways in which the prophets had predicted. For all this to happen, for all this to be fulfilled and come true is quite powerful. So do we think of it all as just being a nice story? Something that means we can celebrate Christmas? Yet we consider the evidence, the historical evidence of Jesus being on this earth. The evidence of his death and resurrection. And we see God's word coming true. That's why it's endured over the years. As well as the New Testament in the Bible, which is the primary source. There's also eyewitness accounts of people who saw Jesus even after he had risen. A lot of these people went on to suffer. Some of them were actually killed for what they testified about Jesus, saying they'd seen him after he'd risen. Would they have done all of this if they knew it was all a hoax? Someone once said perhaps the disciples had hidden the body. Would they have gone on to suffer in this way if they knew it wasn't real? Mary trusts in God when it seems impossible. And one of the questions for us today is, are we able to do the same? Maybe in your life there might be situations and circumstances which seem impossible. Things where there seems to be no way out. What do you turn to in those difficult circumstances? The difficult job, that difficult relationship, the family problems, the exams, whatever it might be. Where are you putting your trust today? Mary's response, how can this be possible? She trusts in the God who can do the impossible. This Christmas, are you going to trust in Jesus as your Saviour? We've got a nativity scene over there. Quite, might not be able to see it as well from the back. But so often that's the picture we have of Jesus. And absolutely right. That was his birth. That was him coming into this world. But he would come into this world to live in this world and to die for all of us. The reason God sent Jesus into this world was so he could die, take the punishment for our sins. Not just as a baby for Christmas, but as a saviour for all time. Mary had difficult circumstances, yet she chose to trust in God. And it's because of God's love that he wants to accept all of us. God loves each one of us more than we've ever been loved before. That is why Jesus came into this world. Perhaps you haven't accepted him as your saviour today. To do so requires us to acknowledge that we've done wrong, to admit that we're not perfect, to admit that we cannot save ourselves, but to admit that we need Jesus. Not just to celebrate Jesus at his birth, but to say, I want to follow you each day. To say, I want to put my trust in you and walk with you each day. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the powerful name of Jesus. And as we come into this season when we celebrate the birth of your son, I just pray for all of us here, we won't just see it as a nice time, as a nice story, but as a powerful story and a true story, to know that we can trust in you as our Lord and Saviour. And I pray you would bless each one of us now. I pray there can be a turning to you. For all of us, we can put our trust in you as Lord and Saviour. Amen.